Okay, hello everybody. Right, this is Paul and Barry. Hello, say hello, Barry.
Hello, Paul.
Right, and we're recording an episode in the car driving on the way home from Nottingham. So it's raining because obviously it's grim up here in the north. So we apologise if the sound quality is not the best, but this is us as a hot debrief on the car journey on the way home.
So it's the 30th of December, it's raining, you probably hear the rain on the windscreen, and we're heading back home after a day at Warhammer World, which is a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was indeed. Basically, it was organised that we would play a big game of Warmaster at Warhammer World, where it was between us two, on either team, and also with the lads who organised Attack and Warden event, Jim and Alex, and also a guy, Simon, who has been on the Warmaster Facebook group before, so I recognised his name, hadn't met the guy before, but he was a really nice bloke. And the game was a 6,000 point a side matchup. We had mono dwarves on one side against the chaos coalition on the other side. We managed to play through two games. We played through one to the finish, and the second, so we played it as separate army lists that could be broken. And the second game, we started and we got to a point where we were willing to stop it, basically.
So Warhammer World, where we went to today, and how did you find Warhammer World, Paul?
Well, I've been to Warhammer World quite a bit back in the day, because that used to be where Throne of Skulls for Oldhammer tournaments were, and then also some 40k ones back in the day, etc. Actually, I got to be fair to say, I thought that would we have trouble with playing Warmaster there, because it's not current, issue fluff, etc. It's not Age of Sigmar. Actually, no issues at all. We didn't have to justify ourselves to any staff member at all, or persuade them that we're actually playing a GW game system. We only had interest, actually.
Lots of staffers came over to talk about it, talk about how they used to love playing it.
Yeah.
And lots of random bots came over as well to look at it.
Yeah, people who clearly didn't know what we were playing, and only interested, no negativity. So that was really good, actually. And the venue, because the venue's been redesigned at Warhammer World, they now have a Forge World shop in there, so they've got less table space, but we didn't have to book a table. We got a table that was perfectly adequate. It was a big battle board, and we played it as
6x6,
it was 6x6, and we brought our own scenery, so we used the scenery I normally use. So we took off all the 28mm scale scenery and just used our, to scale scenery that we like. And no issues at all. I say, food was good.
Food was good. It was free to play. You can book a table online in advance if you want for free.
As I say, we didn't. And there was no need to, actually. There was still plenty of space in the venue, despite its smaller capacity. And I would say, when we're talking about the venue, they have an improved gallery nowadays, and I would recommend seeing that if you're willing to pay the £7.50 they want you to view it. But it's not like the old venue. It's not like the old old gallery they used to have, which was one room. This is like 5-6 rooms of awesomeness. Seriously, the main display has to be seen to be believed, because it's so big. And I heard a figure of something like a ridiculous amount of stock of 40k stuff on the table. It's literally a table that you, as in a display that you walk down and around. So it's mirrored the same as the entranceway, which you walk up to Warhammer World once you're on the main entrance, and that's repeated in the gallery, and it's a huge display. So anyway, on a little
side, it's about 30 grand or something.
It's worth seeing. We didn't get the chance to today because our game, we played the whole time playing and eating lunch, but that wouldn't have been a bad option, basically, if we do that.
Let's talk about game one.
So, okay, it was 6,000 points of dwarves on one side, and we used, I used 3,000 points of a standard dwarf list, and the other list was a 3,000 points worth of a younger holds list. And that was against a, what was it?
So it was 3,000 in Dark Elves.
Which Simon used, yeah.
2,000 in a lovely painted Slaanesh Demon by
Jim. Very nice, by Jim.
I was running 1,000 points of Chaos, basically Chaos Warriors and Chaos Knights.
To make it, to balance it out to 6,000 points. And as I say, we played it at separate breakpoints, and so me and Alex Janaway were the dwarf players, and we didn't even try to contest the scouting role.
I think the scouting role was like 26 against 3 or something.
Yeah, it was like an automatic win to Chaos there. We had a nice deep table to play. So we set up the stand at 80 centimetres away from each other. So we just basically, the bigger table just gave us more room to deploy back on, which was good. Because that's the beauty of War Master, is as long as you're the set distance away, the table is fine. Then it works on that size. The game went down really well, actually.
It didn't go down well for our side. It went all down well for your side.
It went well.
In true Dark Elf fashion, he rolled 2 blunders first turn. He killed one character, and I think he took the minus leadership on the second one. And bizarrely, the younger halls have these crazy miners with a dragon slayer, and they were all but in our deployment zone. I think they're 40 centimetres away.
Yeah, that's the rule, is that the miners, which basically, so a younger holds list is a dwarf army list, which allows, instead of taking troll slayers, you've got,
you can't take troll slayers.
Yeah, but you get a miners as a unit entry, and also militia. But militia are awful, you would never take them, so I don't know why they're in the list. And you get these miners unit, which is really different. Basically, it can set up, you can bring it on in reserves at later turns, or you can deploy it at the start of the game, and it's to deploy anywhere 40 centimetres away from the enemy, and if they stay in that position they count as defended. And it's an interesting dwarf unit. Because so what happened in the main story of this game is this brigade of miners, which was had some Dragon Slayer characters, which are, you know, like
the Dragon Slayer character is bonkers.
He's a bit too good for his points, really, isn't he? Because he gives out terror. The thing is, he's a terrifying, causing dwarf. Strangely, you know,
So for like 100 points, you can give him a sword, and he's like 4 attacks causes terror.
Yeah,
and that's one of the dwarves' main weaknesses is access to terror. Now they've got,
and also a decent amount of additional attack dice.
Yeah.
So this dwarf brigade of miners, you know, managed to
do 4 attacks each on the charge.
Yeah.
And have 4 hits and 5 up save.
Yeah, which managed to really pound on the demon list that was on the left flank.
And basically this brigade must have been worth about 500 points with the character, and it ate the entire army, virtually the entire demon army.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, as I say, like, jury's out a bit there on whether that's like a fair. Is that really a balanced list, that younger holds list, with that? Because those miners do seem a bit OP.
They even have 4 attacks when you charge them.
Yeah, because they have a point blank stand and shoot attack, basically, which is like mine charges and stuff, or hand axes, or it's a list that that changes the dwarf list around a bit and gives you 2 new units. One you'd never use, you know, the militia, and another one that seemed in our case to be too good.
I think the other thing is, because they're so far ahead of the line, they don't suffer modifiers to leadership or distance.
Yeah,
so they're basically going in 10 and then 9
or 10 and 8.
10 and 8, yeah. It was like, oh my god.
Yeah, not good. Anyway, so that happened in the first game. That was the big incident of the early game.
So once the demons were eaten, Dark Elves did nothing, and then called it a game.
My dwarf list on the left was opposite the 3,000 points of Dark Elves, which was struggling to make an impact on the game through the bad commands, characters getting assassinated by blunders, because that's what Dark Elves do, and also the woods that my dwarves have managed to occupy, his heavy cavalry lot of cavalry list wasn't going to be able to interact with. So the scenery there really helped me where it mattered.
And obviously there were a lot of cannons because you're playing dwarves, so anything that came too far forward just got pummeled.
Which, I mean, that that was the strength, and also, you know, the strength of a, you know, dual dwarf list is that I'd taken 2 units of cannons because it was a 3,000 point list, so I'd taken 2 units of cannons because that's all I have. Janaway had taken 3 units of cannons
and three flame cannons,
which he put all close together on a hill, which really, like, that was a lot of firepower coming out of that hill.
Yeah, like, he arranged them so they were kind of like protecting the flanks, protecting the rear. There was no easy way in, which didn't, yeah. If you went in the front, you took 6 cannons. If you went in either the side or the rear, you took a flame cannon.
Yeah.
And it was difficult to even get in a position to do anything other than front and charge.
Definitely. And like with my artillery, there was 3 units. The Dark Elf player had 3 units of Harpies that, to be honest, it was unlucky. He attacked my cannons because I was screening them with some handgunners, and it was like they're all like 50-50 style kind of combats, but they all went my way, basically. Yeah, it was like luck of the dice, I would have said. So that's how the first game went down, is that
we called that at lunch.
Yeah, so basically once the demon player, Jim had been broken off, that left 6,000 points of dwarves facing off against the Dark Elves and the Chaos, which was only 4,000 in total. Attrition had happened.
Dark Elf has lost some.
Yeah, the attrition had happened, but the dwarves were definitely up on the game.
Yeah, they've lost like at least 2 of the 5 characters.
Yeah,
so, the game was virtually over.
I think the game was done. So we had lunch and decided to re-rack and re-change, where we would, the dwarf list would stay the same and play on the other side of the table, and Barry would bring out his Lizardmen, which he'd brought along, and we'd just overlook the fact that they obviously probably wouldn't work with the Chaos anyway.
We were angry with dwarves.
Yeah, and so it was the second game we played was the 6,000 points of dwarves again versus 2,000 of lizards, 2,000 of demons again, and the Dark Elves we brought down 2,000 points.
Yeah.
So in this one, Alex just, you know, like, didn't set up as intermingled as we'd done before, and so we like basically took a side of the table each, and we made a conscious decision to not use the miners differently. We would try them, bringing them on in reserve, and to support our stronger flank rather than where the enemy was. The game went down is I on the left flank got attacked by all 3 players.
Yep.
You know, concentrated on me. Because
we won the roll again with our plus 26. And the 2 hills were like right in the corners, so Alex set up right in one corner and you set up right in the other corner.
That's right.
And that allowed us to focus all 6,000 points on Paul.
Yeah, and so my 3,000 points had a tough time, but actually I was doing pretty well, I thought. Like, there was some combats that really went my way. Like, I was rolling like on demon on fire. And not only was I holding back the demons which are directly opposite me, but like I dealt damage to like Dark Elf Cold One Knights. I dealt damage to one of my infantry brigades was messing up Barry's Lizardmen infantry brigades.
Okay. Again, they were helped by that Dragon Slayer.
Yeah.
The Dragon Slayer really swings combat map.
Yeah. So after 5 turns, and Alex Janaway, the other dwarf player, failing to commit basically through bad dice and just actually being left alone, I was basically, me playing against the intentions of 3 armies. After 5 turns, my dwarves broke off, and we just, about when was said and done, you were one break away, one unit away from breaking. The demons were over halfway, as were the Dark Elves. We decided then that this game could end now in a draw, or if it went on, probably the dwarves would win again, because Alex was untouched.
Yeah, and he had his you'd have had to get past all the cannons to get in.
His break was still 12 from fresh, was still 12 away, so he was going to have it. Were, you know, in terms of what models need to go, like the dwarves were even down to one player, the dwarves were still up, and obviously the alliance of bad guys, let's call them that, had lost a lot of their good stuff already.
Yeah. I mean, seeing demons in action and seeing Dark Elves in action kind of put me off either of them. the Dark Elves, even in the second game, he was killing off more characters than you lose more characters to your own roles than you do to the game ever. And then.
Even though it's the most, it's only on a double six result, instead of a blunder, this is what happens. Either your general loses one command or a character gets beheaded. It seemed to happen quite often.
Well, it does happen, I reckon, on average, it will happen multiple times a game.
Yeah.
If you issue enough orders,
You're going to do, aren't you?
Yeah, for sure. But and the demonic instability seemed a little bit bonkers as well, I think.
But not Jim, overpowered.
No, I think Jim took off more of his own stuff than he lost in combat.
Due to instability, yeah. Because basically, when demon units take casualties, they lost a stand or two stands, they're rolling on a demonic instability chart, which, if they're taking more damage, they're more likely to pop. Equally, they can come back, as in more demons can come back
again.
On
a six,
but yeah, you're more likely to pop than you are, or get confused, than you are to basically come back again. And I was I thought that was a good list, because demons traditionally in Oldhammer have always been a bit of a ridiculous army. You know, they'll walk around with ward saves and all the mutant psychology, but they're not the case in Warmaster. And I really liked how in a demonic list, it's lesser demons, or like basically lesser demon infantry, lesser demon cavalry. You know, it's not individual gods. It's not like this is a Khorne list, this is a Nurgle list.
No, but this was a Slaanesh list.
Yeah,
it was just pink with nipples.
But it could equally have been all painted red and be a Khorne list, and it would have been exactly the same rules, because the demons are generic.
With less nipples,
yeah.
Well, there are no nipples now in Slaanesh.
Well, yeah, Slaanesh doesn't exist anymore. It's not PC enough, is it?
But they didn't take away the nipples, they took away the race. They took away the whole...
The god, and god. Yeah, the Skaven became the fourth Chaos God.
Oh, right, see.
That's how it's gone down. Like, there's no Slaanesh. It's not. You can't have, like, half sexy, half men, half women, beasts, demons, things.
With
massive nipples. And, like, and cute asses, because that's not, like, what the world wants, is it?
That's true. Lots of gamers want it, though. Not me in particular, but there are lots of gamers.
Basically, if you were going to be a Chaos Power, you'd be Slaanesh, wouldn't you? Like, you'd be the one for excess.
Well, I wouldn't be Nurgle. That's
I mean, like, they clearly are the coolest, you know, demonic army. Yeah, and they've never been the best one either when you're playing mono-god kind of lists in Oldhammer. But Slaanesh was certainly the coolest. And it's like, and just the whole ethos of, like, just do as much as you can, all of you can, as much as you can.
Always.
Like, love it. Snort it, love it.
So I think the game, that was the first big point game I played. I think the game's played really well.
Yeah, it scales up really nicely, Warmaster. So in under a week, I've played now two big scale Warmaster games. One 4,000 points aside, one 6,000 points aside. Yeah, it's a beauty, really. I think you can choose to play it as, like, right, do you play, like, one break for the entire lot or a break for individual armies? I'd recommend with multiple players a break for individual armies.
It felt right.
Makes it more interesting.
It's a little bit weird that when you lose that last point, you pop immediately. You don't play to the end of the round.
Normally, obviously, Warmaster's a two-player game, and that's how the game ends.
Yeah.
So, like, your army just... Your bit of the army coalition just disappears. But that's how it's... That it also gets results. The game will get finished. You can play a large game of Warmaster. So, the standard game is 2,000 points. This 6,000 points was naturally three times the size, and we finished two of them in one day.
I had lunch in about... So that would have been like 7 hours
play. Weren't pressured for time at all, like, you know, with lunch, didn't have to have a quick lunch to play. We finished when we wanted to finish, you know, so that was
it's definitely something I'd do again for sure.
Definitely me too. Like, and also playing a big game of Warmaster off a clock, just for the casual fun of it, was a very fun game. Like, when Simon made one or two mistakes, you know, I was like chatting to him, oh, you can do that, take that back if you want. You know, like, this is for the enjoyment of it.
And it was nice having a couple of the elders there, Jim and Alex.
Yeah.
I mean, elders in, like, rules knowledge, not old folks.
Oh, yeah, yeah, totally.
But it was good. I learned a lot. I learned how to hide my skinks. Which, apparently, it's the only tactic for skinks.
Yeah.
And not use them as wounds, which is how I usually use them.
Yeah, it's basically, they're going to guard your break point, and you're just going to stick them in some convenient wood at the back of your lines, and never shall they move.
Never shall they move. moment.
Cool. Well, it looks like we're wrapping that up. So that was our quite brief little podcast. And see if this, we'll have to listen, play this back and see if the sound volumes work.
I think there may be an issue with Paul's volume.
Well, might be, but at the end of the day, material's free. And that was like our little bonus recording in the car about what we did for War Master today.
So that will be episode 4, but it's more like 3B or something.
Yeah, 3.5. But anyway, what will we do our next podcast about?
It's going to be on High Elves and maybe in a week or so.
Yeah, maybe in a week or so. We played some games of High Elves now, so we feel confident to chat about them. And you could do it that you could play the High Elves for once, Barry, like it's in the army we're talking about, and I'll be something else. Oh, we could have High Elves Dark Elves matchup.
That would be good. Like the Sundering.
The Sundering, yeah. That's we good. Could play the Sundering and like review the High Elves afterwards.
Okay, we've also got your tournament coming up in a few...
Yes, that's
9 days.
January 9th. So that that's going to be a very interesting day because, like, so to meet some of the players I've met before and some of the players I haven't, and just, set out my whole MO for tournaments I'm going to be running in the southeast going forward.
And introduce Warmaster to Death Clock.
To Death Clock, exactly.
Which is going to be a thing.
It's going to be a thing.
People are going to be sad.
Yeah, they might be, but they better, like, get with the program because this is how it's going to be. Basically, in our little region here, my events will always be straight Warmaster with a Death Clock because that's how the game needs to be played as far as I'm concerned.
And a Death Clock, for those of you that don't know, is you have a fixed amount of time, 75 minutes.
Which is what we're going with.
And when you use your 75 minutes, you lose.
Yep.
So you break the other person within your 75 minutes or you will lose.
Yeah, exactly. And the scoring system would be, you win, you get 4 points for breaking the enemy and you get up to 3 points if you lost, depending on how much damage you did to the enemy. So, there we go. Worked out in victory points. I say, like, Alex and Jim Saffron Walden event, they're going to do a special event, like, once a year and a regular event once a year. So their next one in April is a Battle Brothers one, which is a 1500 point doubles event, so two 1500 point lists in a two-player team against a two-player team. We're using the Allies chart, the most recent one that they could find from Oldhammer, as in like which races will work with which races.
Yeah.
And also they've put in their own house rule for Allies where you can give a command to an Allied brigade, like Allied units, with an initial minus one command.
And the same for casting spells.
Same for casting spells, which are very simple and works, means you can do it, but it's harder to do.
It's reasonable.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Cool, well, I think that'll be us then. Until next time.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Bye.
Hey. Now just get in. And close the door. And put your foot down. You know, I like this suburb we're going through. I've been around here many times before. When I was young, we were gonna move out this way. For the clean air, healthy, you know. Away from the factories and the smoke. I like that shop too. You can get anything there. So just get in. And we'll go for a ride. Yes, we'll go driving. let you push hard down to the floor. We can call on people I know in Newcastle, or maybe even Glasgow. There's a lot of nice places to see up there, so just don't worry. Without a care in the world.